Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Dennis Miller, who's expanding his Podcast One show, the Dennis Miller option, with a second weekly episode. That's exciting. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you, young Jason. I started it, I think I've done three or four, and we found out that when you're doing free association about the events of the world, it is an eternity to take a week off from said world because stuff happens quickly now, my friend. So we moved up to two a week.
I know you used to fill much more frequently than that on your radio show, so, like 3 hours every day. So
Sisyphean task. Sisyphus. I did 8 years of 3 hours a day, and while I enjoyed it immensely, I noticed towards the end that I was just fried. You know what I mean? I was being too curt on the air with callers and stuff like that, and I thought, Jesus, you know, I like to have a bit of an attitude, but I'd say I'm officially being snippy here. And I thought, I guess I was just, after 8 years, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, I was just a little fried.
How is podcasting a little different there for you?
Oh, easy comparatively, Jason. You go on, they say to you, well, talk till you want to quit. You know, some people do a half hour, some 45. I find that I just say hi and probably make it to an hour and 10, and it seems so easy comparatively. You know, and once again, you can pre-tape a podcast if you're going to be out of town. And well, I don't have to tell you. It sounds like, I don't know how frequently you as the entertainment editor are on the air, but once you have that three-hour-a-day show, you're anchored, you know, until you get a week off. It's not like you kind of get off, and then you have your lunch, and then you start thinking, well, what do I talk about in the morning? And then you go to bed because you get up at 6, and it's pretty all-encompassing. So I find the podcast infinitely, infinitely easier.
Awesome. Well, let's talk in as if, you know, maybe some listeners that haven't downloaded your podcast yet. I know it launched April 25th. Who are some of your favorite guests you've had so far, and who else we got coming up?
Well, April 25th was a sports one I tried. Okay. And after maybe around 10 of those, I just found out that people were sending me emails saying, listen, I like listening to you. I missed the radio show, but I don't like sports. So I just said to the guy in charge, I said, we got to just go to a generic one. If we get the sports periodically, fine. If we don't, fine. We can talk about the events of the world. And the three that I've done of a more generic nature, I've only had one guest so far. That's Carvey. And I don't know, Dana Carvey on any format, along with Marty Short probably, is the easiest interview you do in your life.
You just sit back and let him chop broccoli.
Yeah, at the beginning, exactly. You say, hi, Dana, how are you? And then he and around 15 of his famous friends, he does the voices of, talk for an hour, and then you go, thanks, Dana, goodbye.
You just shut your mic off.
Yeah, it's like somebody, not wake me, I mean, I'm just saying, you can pretty much zone out if you want, because Dana knows exactly how to kill.
I love it. I'm always curious when I talk to, I've talked to different, you know, comedians and also, you know, hosts like yourself over the years, and I'm always curious their interview style. I mean, we had Larry King in. He said he never prepared a question. Anderson Cooper said he always prepared a question. Dick Cavett kind of is more, I guess, down the middle of what I kind of agree, where he said that early on he had too many questions prepared, but then he'd say, he'd have, let's say, like Elizabeth Taylor on his couch, and she'd say, I'm open this trunk, and you'll never believe what was in it. And he said, so what are your hobbies? And he remembered that you gotta listen to what they're saying. So what's your style? Do you usually have questions prepared?
Anytime anybody tells you they had Elizabeth Taylor on their couch and they wanted to open her trunk, you should page Dr. Freud. let me see. I would lean more towards the Larry thing. I think a lot of these interviews are, let's face facts, it's Dick Cavett, maybe if he's doing an hour show, has to prepare a little more. But, you know, with commercials and that, if you do an hour show, you're talking about 40 minutes, and usually you have two guests on a 40-minute show, and it's pretty easy to say hi, be nice to people, what are you doing, and then ask them a couple distaff questions, then go into the wrap and fill 20 minutes. So I wouldn't overthink it too much. I think then it turns into a bit of a, I don't know, it looks so unrelaxed that people can't immerse themselves in the conversation of it.
Right, it should be a conversation. It shouldn't be a forced bang, 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 here's what I was planning to ask you.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is when I do watch interviewers who bother me, I think, what is the through line here that bothers me? I don't like it when I can hear them kind of say, you know, trying to get in, like, I don't know if you can hear the noise I'm making, but the guest is answering the question they ask, and you can hear them go, you know, and you're thinking, why don't you just let them finish? You've asked them something. I don't like it when the host tries to get immediately back in and help them with their answer. So I think Larry was great at that. You know what I mean? Larry would ask you a question, and then until you got boring, he'd let you run with it.
Exactly. Let them finish their thought and then jump back in. Do you prefer radio, podcast, and here at WTOP, you know, we're the radio station in D.C., and I always love it because it's a bit of theater of the mind, that, and, you know, you don't have to dress up every day. But in terms of, you used to do HBO, you know, Dennis Miller Live, and you had the Dennis Miller Show. Did you prefer getting all spruced up for the camera, or do you like the radio theater of the mind better?
Well, I would say... on the radio, I was in a bathrobe when I did it, and on HBO, I was in a pair of jeans with a bathrobe over the jeans, so it wasn't much of a difference. No, I mean, I look back on the HBO show. I remember I left a navy blue sport coat at the show. I did around 215 of them. I had a pair of blue jeans that I'd wear in, and I'd interchange the shirts, but out of the 215 shows, I'd have to guess. And yes, I did get a dry clean period. I probably wore that navy blue jacket for at least 150 of them. So it wasn't exactly a Noel Coward play when I was doing TV. But I must admit, being in your own home and wearing a bathrobe down the hall to work was the optimum.
So bathrobes and the jeans, that's the trick.
Yes, that's my formal look.
I love it. You mentioned Dana Carvey, so I got to ask you about the SNL days. You were, dare say, my favorite of the Weekend Update hosts. You know, you kind of had to bring it back from the Chevy Chase, Jane Curtin, older days. And you've had a lot of guys come after you since. How much fun was doing that? And who do you think nailed it the most in your footsteps? You know, was it Norm MacDonald or Fallon, Faye, Michael Che? It's a great little segment on there.
Listen, that was a great gig. And I tried to stay out of the other things because I knew... You know, I don't want to make too much of acting. I think I could have done a passable job. But with guys like Phil and Lovitz and Mike Myers and Dana, you were always going to sort of be the third or fourth lead in the sketch, understandably. So the price for that was you had to be there to block it. And sometimes blocking a sketch is 3 hours. So I used to try to stay out of sketches and just put it all into Weekend Update. I'd write the jokes. I'd sit there. And I remember thinking, just get a good rock and roll song to start it with. Go out there and, you know, swing as hard as you can for 10 minutes. I felt like a rodeo rider. And then get out of there and don't show up in other things. And then people will say, well, I dug him on Update and I didn't see him flopping anything else. Since I've left, I think Norm's a genius. And I think Tina Fey's great. But I'd have to say, just because he's my friend and I know him, I'd have to say Norm.
Awesome. Do you stay in touch with any of those guys? Obviously, you mentioned Dana's come on your show, but any of the other of the cast back then, do you ever keep in touch with those guys?
I talked to Norm a couple times in the last month, but there are times, you know, you'll go a year without hearing from Norm. I talked to Lovitz, Spade, mostly Carvey. That's a few times a week. And those are my... Listen, I had many dear friends on the show, but those are the ones I see the most.
That's awesome. You mentioned David Spade. I can't let you out of here without talking about Joe Dirt, one of the more underrated little comedies of the last 15. I know some people, I guess they just missed the genius of it. I thought it was great, and your spot on there was one of the most memorable parts of the movie, you and Spade. But do you still get people coming up to you saying, you know, quoting that movie, I'm new, I don't know what to do, all that stuff?
I think it was the first time my kids knew I was in show business. It was up to that point. What do you do, Dad? Are you an electrician? They had never seen any of my stuff, but Joe Dirt, they were genuinely impressed by. When we used to get new cast members at Saturday Night Live, my job was to act like Lou Gossett Jr. in An Officer and a Gentleman, the drill inspector, where I'd go in and tear them all a new one. And I remember literally going into a room once when we had hired new cast. They were all sharing an office. I remember it being David Spade, Rob Schneider, Chris Farley, Adam Sandler, and somebody else in there that I'm... I said Rock. So, and Adam Sandler. So there's five of them. And I go in and, you know, I would slap them around, give them a nickname, rough them up a little, tell them they had no career shot. And then I realized years later, as I look back, they walk on by me at the speed of light and made billions of dollars in box office. But David called me on Joe Dirt, and he said, listen, I'm doing this movie about a kid in a mullet who gets hit with a meteorite, but it turns out to be a turd. And I said, Dave, not interested. I love you, but I'm not interested. And he said, well, I only need you for 2 days. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, just slap me around like you used to slap us around at SNL. I said, well, listen, I'll come in for 1 day. So I shot my entire part. It was just me and Spade in a fake radio studio and just me ad-libbing and, you know, pretending that the new kid on Saturday Night Live was Joe Dirt and slapping him around. So it was fun. It's a great memory now. And, you know, like I said, I love David like a little brother.
That's no meteor. It's a giant frozen chunk of poopy. I'll never forget it. You've been generous with your time. Before you go, I got to ask you about the Monday Night Football days. I mean, was that at least, I know it was probably more short-lived than you would have liked, but was that at least a blast to do that? I know, you know, we have Tony Kornheiser here in town. He had a little stint after you. And why is it such a challenging gig? And why was it also, you know, a fun little detour for you?
Well, listen, I did 2 years. I think Tony did three. I would give us this. I think OJ did one. So we're up on a juice. I remember John Madden left Fox, and I called Dan Fouts and said, we're going to get fired this afternoon. He said, but we're picked up for a third year. And I said, I don't care. Madden hasn't left Fox to sit at home in the Dakota on the Upper West Side and drink frappuccinos with his old lady all day. I guarantee he's coming here. So we got fired that afternoon, and guess what? I would have fired me, too. It's John Madden. He's the greatest color announcer who ever did it. Now Michaels is the greatest play-by-play, and they had a super team there. As a matter of fact, if I'm ever in L.A. on any given night and I want to do stand-up comedy and I go into the improv and John Madden's on stage, they better haul his ass off, too. That's the way the world works. But my 2 years there, when I look back on it, I had fun. I was in the middle of a culture of fracas. It seemed like I'd stay around 55% of the country hated my guts and 45 liked me. But you know what? Once you, as you get a little older, you can't wake up every morning and start cruising the internet to find your self-worth. I had fun. For them to offer me Monday Night Football, I said, sure, I'm going to try this. And I can't look back and say, oh, I was devastated. I wasn't. When they whack you, they whack you. It's showbiz. Move on.
Yeah, do you sort of apply that, you know, you can't please everybody mentality to, especially when you're talking politics these days? I mean, it's everyone's so polarized. I feel like you just got to say your opinion and let it be. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, half the country's going to hate you either way. Listen, nobody wants to sit down and go over my checklist. You know, I'm socially liberal, but conservatives don't like that. And I'm fiscally conservative, and the war on terror, I'm conservative. And liberals don't want to know about that. You're always going to piss somebody off. All I know is I've been lucky enough for 35 years that I've had a gig in a very, very risky, tricky business. So, you know, like you're right. Once you're in your mid-60s, if you're waking up and go, what do strangers think of me? You've missed the point. I do what I can. I'm doing the best I can. Some people hate it. Some people like it. What are you going to do?
Awesome. Well, hopefully more people love than hate the new Dennis Miller option, the podcast.
Good for you. Let's see, the podcast is half full.
That's awesome. Yes, thank you. Before we go, just tell us how we can check it out. How can we download it?
It's two things. It seems like the big depot for podcasts is Apple. You go onto the Apple Store and you can download it. And then I'm under the tent of a company called Podcast One. That's a big distributor of podcasts. They have Adam Carolla and wrestlers, and they must have 150 podcasts. So either podcastone.com, and that spells one out, O-N-E, not the number, or Apple Tunes. You can find it on there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You've been more than generous with your time, and keep up the great work and not caring what other people think.
All right, brother. I appreciate your time. Have a good one.